flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Evan Roberts. Tiki Barber. It's Evan and Tiki on WFAN, The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
And here we are on a Friday. A football is Friday, or that's what you thought. Evan and Tiki, we've got a ton to discuss. The New York Jets have an offensive coordinator. Shedeur Sanders is making it very, very obvious where he wants to go. And we will get into the Super Bowl. But before we get started, we believe in accountability here at WFAN. Accountability here at Evan and Tiki. So we made a little bit of a decoration change here at WFAN on this program. Because earlier today, Boomer Esiason.
Boomer Esiason!
A man we all deeply respect, followed up on his tweet from last night claiming that today's the day Pete Alonso will sign with the New York Mets. Now, I love Boomer, but Boomer's track record on being correct is, right around 45%. He's had some victories. He's had some losses. That Admiral thing is a loss. But I do owe Boomer this. He was right about the lifting of the vaccine mandates a few years ago. And I remember saying, wow, Boomer was right. I love him. I'll never doubt him. Well, here we are 3 years later, and I am doubting him. But there's a chance Boomer's right. Boomer said Pete Alonso will be a Met today. Okay. So here's what we're doing. We have brought in Boomer Esiason. He's here with us right now. Now, it's not the real life Boomer Esiason. It's a Friday. God bless him. It is a stand-up poster of a life-sized Boomer Esiason.
Extremely narpy.
It's right behind us, okay? Now, unfortunately, it's also attached to Phil Sims. No offense, Phil. We've covered Phil up with a luchador hat because this has nothing to do with Phil.
Right. We don't want him to catch any shrapnel.
No!
And Phil's also feeling Royal Rumble fever this week.
Yes. He's wearing a luchador hat like he's Rey Mysterio Jr. But around Boomer's neck is a clock. Because tick-tock, tick-tock. If Boomer is right and Pete Alonso re-signs with the New York Mets, there'll be a celebration. A celebration not just of Met fans, of me and Tommy, and Tiki will be happy too, but of Boomer Esiason, because he will have nailed it, and I would hug the life-size Boomer. I may do other things to the life-size Boomer, carry him around the studio in excitement. But if, by the close of business today at 5 o'clock, Pete Alonso does not re-sign with the New York Mets, that clock's coming off. And a big L is going around his neck. So while Boomer would never wear the L, he would never play along with a game as juvenile as that, he has no control over life-size Boomer. So at 5 o'clock today, If Alonzo's not a Met, our beautiful L, designed by the Barber Girls, will be worn by Boomer for the final hour and a half of the show. Does that seem fair?
I think that's perfectly fair. You know, Boomer said this confidently last night, almost like he had talked to somebody.
Right.
Maybe, you know, Steve Cohen or something. Or maybe David Stearns, but that's John Heyman's job. So,
or maybe a drunk guy at a party. Who knows?
Exactly. Or maybe Pete Alonso himself.
Oh, you never know.
Because Pete Alonso, as we found out earlier this week, is back in New York.
Oh, yeah.
He is on a plane from Tampa back to New York.
That's
after
right.
Steve Cohen called him out at Amazing Day. And he could be here, and he could be chatting with Boomer.
That's right. It could be, and that's why I'm open-minded to this. I'm not saying Boomer's wrong. We're just putting a clock around his neck. And so, tick-tock, tick-tock. It is a little after 2 o'clock. I believe 5 o'clock, the close of business, is a very fair cutoff time. And if Pete Alonso does not re-sign with the New York Mets by 5 o'clock today, it's our own little way of holding people accountable. The L goes around Boomer Esiason's neck.
David,
so we will be checking the Boomer clock all day long today. You have any thoughts, you're welcome to join in at 888-808-1019. Now let's get down to business. Let's talk some football. I know we're a week away from the Super Bowl, but can I tell you what I'm most excited about?
Please, tell me.
Because I think everybody's different. I know there's a lot of Giant fans around here that are excited about rooting against the Eagles or rooting for Saquon or rooting against Saquon or what have you. To me, the reason I'm actually genuinely pumped up for this game in a week and a half is because Patrick Mahomes is chasing Tom Brady. And quite frankly, over the first 7 years of each of their careers, it's actually a mismatch. Like, Patrick Mahomes is far better than Tom Brady.
Yeah.
He's far better statistically.
Mm-hmm.
He's been far better in terms of winning. Right now, they both have 3 Super Bowls. Pat's been to 4. This could be the 4th he wins, or has been to 5 now.
Yeah.
Like, what I'm kind of just enamored by is the chase for the GOATness. And Patrick Mahomes, 7 years into his career, is far ahead of that GOATness pace that was set by Tom Brady.
Well, it's also the expectation. So let's not forget when, because he's now the GOAT, Tom Brady, the winningest quarterback in the history of the NFL as it pertains to Super Bowl. But nobody expected that.
Right.
Right? When he took over because Drew Bledsoe got hurt, it was almost like, all right, who's this kid that's going to be just this stopgap until they figure out what they're doing at quarterback? And he just never gave the job back and kept winning and winning and winning. Now, to Tom Brady's credit, and really this is the most admirable thing about him, he got better every single year.
That's right? The caveat, yes.
Right. He's like, all right, okay, he was just throwing checkdowns and, you know, handing the ball off and throwing it to tight ends. And all of a sudden, he throws for 50 touchdown passes in a year. And Randy Moss and him set a record. They go undefeated. And you started to believe, wow, this guy is actually the best player to ever play this position. And then he wins his 7th Super Bowl after going to Tampa and lifting that franchise that had been struggling ever since they won back in 2003. And so Tom Brady made himself after a, good start winning, but not really good start, like, skill position. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Skill-wise,
yeah.
And talent-wise and numbers-wise. You didn't believe that Tom Brady was going to be that. The difference is Pat Mahomes from day one of starting after in his second season, you just knew this guy is awesome.
Yeah.
Right, this might be the best talented quarterback we've ever seen. And then the winning started to come right after, which was not surprising at all. He was meeting the expectation that his talent presented.
Absolutely. Look, there are thirds to the Tom Brady career.
Mm.
There's the first third, there's the second third, and then there's the final third. And obviously, Patrick Mahomes keeping that pace in year 15 or in year 17, it's a very tall order.
Right.
I'd be the first to admit it. But through the first 7 years, the first third of their careers, it's a mismatch. And you're right, Patrick Mahomes came in with more pressure. He was a first-round pick. Patrick Mahomes came into probably a better set situation. Think about it. He's nice and neatly replacing
yep.
Alex Smith and doing it on a team that's been in the playoffs and year after year after year. While, in the Patriots' case, they were coming off a bad season. Drew Bledsoe got hurt. And here's this kid who didn't have a lot of hype coming in. And obviously, we all know what happened. I get all that. I'm just saying, through 7 years, you look at any stat you want. And I found it amazing. I was on Pro Football Reference, and I did one of those, like, those comparisons that are always fun.
Yeah.
Where I took Mahomes and I took Brady. And I looked at these 7 years. Because that's all you can judge with Patrick. He's only been in the league for 7 years. I can't look at year 12 yet. He hasn't had a year 12. And you look at the stat comparison of Mahomes versus Brady, every single one of them. Whether it's wins, whether it's touchdowns, whether it's interceptions, whether it's rating, whether whatever it is, championships, Pro Bowls, all like anything you want, Mahomes hasn't beat. Mm. Everything.
Yeah.
So he is...
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday, where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Setting a pace right now, and I know it's going to be tough because it's a marathon. You run marathons, you know what it's like. You get tired by mile marker 12. And I know it's early. It's only mile marker 7. But right now, Patrick Mahomes is way ahead of the race on the GOAT race with Tom Brady, and I can't get enough of it.
Yeah, no, and he's got to continue to do it. And that's why for his personal legacy, even though I guess technically it is for the Chiefs as well, because as the dynasty of this generation, if they win 3 in a row, they'll have done something, and Coach Andy Reid as well, will have done something that's never been done before.
That's right.
And it's one thing to catch whatever the number of championships that a head coach, or in this case for Pat Mahomes, Tom Brady has eventually, to do something that's never been done, that's special. And so we could talk about Pat Mahomes all we want, but this is really a larger Chief and a Chief fandom issue that we're talking about, or at least opportunity. And so that's what makes it exciting, right? Even if you don't have a dog in the fight, you're likely going to watch history. And so that makes it awesome.
Look, everyone has their reasons for why they're going to care or maybe not care about the Super Bowl. To me, watching this kind of greatness is A, the reason to care, and B, the reason I'm rooting so hard for them. Because to me, it accomplishes so many things. Mahomes passing Tom Brady as a New Yorker, as a Jet fan, as someone who has no ill will towards Patrick Mahomes. In fact, if anything, I like him. His dad was a hell of a pitcher for the Mets in 1999. I appreciate that. Right. There's something cool about that. Andy Reid tracking down Bill Belichick, who told Jet fans, I'm resigning the HC of the NYJ. Yeah. Them doing something, like you mentioned, that no team's ever done, including the Patriots, in three-peating. And then for the Giant fan, where I'll help you out on this, besides rooting against Saquon, is you don't want the Eagles to be the dynasty stoppers.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there is something really unique and special. And if you don't agree with me about that, ask yourself a question. A part of winning the Super Bowl in 2007 that made it so special was not only winning the Super Bowl, not only seeing your team win a championship, not only seeing Eli Manning and all the greatness, but it was stopping them.
Right.
It was stopping the undefeated Patriots. It was the ultimate badge of honor that the team you root for stopped maybe the greatest team in NFL history. You stopped them. The importance of that game and that result cannot be even expressed in proper words. You cannot allow the Eagle fan to have that. And in a way, they would have that.
Right. No, they definitely would have that. Because the Kansas City Chiefs are a flawed team, right? They're not as prolific offensively as they once were. Tyreek Hill was on this team at one point, and he felt like he was unstoppable. Even when things would break down, Pat Mahomes would just throw it up in the middle of the field, and out of nowhere, Tyreek Hill would come zooming in and make a humongous play. Travis Kelce is a shell of who he was 4 years ago when he was the most dominant tight end. Maybe pass catcher in football because of his size and his speed and his ability to make big plays happen. They don't have any of that right now. They have some young players. Xavier Worthy is a good young blazer. But when you look at the efficiency of their offense, it's nowhere near where it used to be. Yet somehow they keep finding ways to win. Part of that is because of Spags, but it's also because Pat Mahomes is just that it dude. Like, he's that it maker.
Well,
whatever needs to happen, he somehow has this extra sense to make it happen.
So I started watching football in about 1992. You started watching football in
probably 84.
So look, I understand for our older listeners, I can't tell you how I would have felt about Johnny Unitas because we didn't see him play. Mm-mm. We didn't watch Sid Luckman play or Sammy Bowe play. But I can tell you right now, when you factor in stats, when you factor in winning, when you factor in doing things on the field that you've never seen before, through 7 years, Patrick Mahomes is the greatest quarterback of all time.
Right.
Like, that's where we are with him. When you factor all that stuff in, because here's the thing about Peyton Manning. When Peyton Manning was on the field early in his career, you're like, wow, this guy's unbelievable. They didn't win. No. I mean, and I'm not putting it all on him, but he did get shut out by the Jets at Giant Stadium in a playoff game. That happened.
Right. He also was very bad his first year.
3-13.
3-13 and threw, I don't know, 20-something interceptions. And he was bad.
He was.
But it helped develop him and help him understand his limitations as a player, and then he thrived from there on out.
Through 7 years, because that's where we are, I don't think it's even close. He's the greatest quarterback most of us have ever seen. Mm-hmm. Now, I give you my time reference. It kind of starts in the early 90s. Even if you want to go back to the 80s, Dan Marino is certainly a good candidate for a lot of people. He put up some massive numbers early in his career. Never got back to a Super Bowl, but got to a Super Bowl. We're talking about a guy who, even though his numbers weren't amazing this year, Pat Mahomes, which I think has actually added to his impressiveness, has won every single year. He's already won MVPs. He's already won championships. He does stuff on the field we haven't seen before. Like, to me, he's the best I've ever seen. Now, the difference is careers are marathons. And what made Tom Brady the GOAT to many wasn't he was the best I've ever seen in the moment. It was, I can't believe he did it for as long as he did.
Yeah, that's the thing with Tom.
Absolutely. And that's going to be the challenge that we'll see if Mahomes gets there. We'll see if Mahomes wants it. Pat Mahomes may say to himself after year 15, why am I doing this?
Yeah, well, I mean, here's the thing. Tom Brady did it without being the highest paid player in football.
Mm.
Like, he never would. I mean, I don't think he made $30 million until he went to Tampa. Maybe his last year in New England. I'd have to look that up on Spotrac. But I think his last couple of years were the only time he made $30 million a year.
Right.
Before that, he was a middle-of-the-road paid quarterback.
Mm.
Now, I'm not saying he played the game just so he could make the money, because clearly his net worth is exceptionally high given all of the off-field stuff, including like the Audemars Piguet deals that he have and all these high-end brands that used him. But think about Pat Mahomes. Two years ago, he signed a $500 million
yes.
deal.
Yeah.
Early. So it's like,
do you think that's more of a reason why he may not play 21 years?
Well, I mean, maybe. I mean, at some point, if you're beat up, you're going to, by the way, that deal's going to get ripped up and redone.
Of course.
He's technically underpaid.
Right. Yeah.
And so at some point, he's going to probably make like $700 million.
There was a contract in old WCW, where I forget, what was the name of it, Tommy, where Kevin Nash would get more money than anybody else no matter what?
It's called a favored nations.
A favored nations.
Him and Scott Hall had
okay,
that.
Okay,
so that means everybody gets the same.
It means as soon as someone gets paid more than you.
Yeah, he gets it.
Okay.
Right.
Patrick Mahomes.
You're right,
will
Tommy.
Always be underpaid unless he has a favored nations clause in his contract, because he's the best there is. That's why.
Yeah.
If anyone is making more money than Patrick Mahomes is underpaid.
Yeah.
That's the way I view it. Yeah. So I don't know what that means later in his career. And quite frankly, I don't think this is as simple as, well, Mahomes has to win 8 championships. If he gets to 8, he's the greatest of all time. He could win 6 and still be the greatest of all time. Like, he doesn't necessarily have to pass Tom Brady.
Especially if he does 6 in, like, I don't know, 9 years?
Right. And then says, I'm done. And then says, well, why do I have to keep doing this? So I don't know if he's going to match Tom in terms of the longevity of it. But as of right now, I actually don't even really see the other side. Mahomes is better. He just is. And that's why when I sit there next Sunday, I'm going to root passionately for him. Because I want him to pass Tom Brady. I want him to pass him 5 times over. And what I love is the idea that Tom has to sit there and call it live on TV.
Nothing he can do about it.
And there's nothing he can do about it. We'll get your calls coming up. We'll also keep you very much posted on the Boomer clock that is set up right behind us. There is a clock around the neck of Boomer Esiason.
Boomer Esiason!
He told us Pete Alonso is re-signing today. All right? So that clock is ticking. And if at 5 o'clock Pete's not a Met, the L replaces the clock. And speaking of Pete Alonso, the New York Mets have been attached to trading for top-line starting pitchers, specifically Dylan Cease and Michael King. Coming up, I'll tell you why, if the Mets make a trade like that, they 1,000% better sign Pete Alonso. And if they don't, it wouldn't make any sense. It's a beautiful clock. I took this clock that's hanging around fake Boomer Esiason's neck. I took this clock from my home, literally. I ripped it off the wall. And I said, honey, I need this clock for work today. And she said, I'm not even going to ask. I don't know what's going on. So I brought the clock in. We have this fake Boomer Esiason stand-up. How tall is this Boomer?
Yeah, it's taller than me.
I don't think
that might actually be my
size.
No, that's not actual size.
It's not actual height because Boomer towers over me.
Yeah.
But this fake Boomer, I'd say, is about 5'11", 6'1", would be my guess. Mm. I'm not. I'm 5'9". So it's definitely bigger. And so fake Boomer Esiason is behind us with a clock around his neck. Tick tock, tick tock. He says Pete Alonso's going to be a Met today. We'll see. Phil Simms is attached to him, which is just awkward because poor Phil is just standing here in the back of our studio. So we tried to make it less awkward for Phil. We put a luchador mask around his face. So you'll be able to see that on TV later when the digital team puts it up. And speaking of Pete Alonso, coming up at exactly 2:45, I will tell you why. If the New York Mets are really serious about trading for a top-line starting pitcher like Michael King or Dylan Cease, it would make absolutely zero sense to not re-sign Pete Alonso. Mm. We'll get to it coming up. The toll-free number is 888-808-1019. For me, I'm most excited about Mahomes chasing history with this Super Bowl next week. The vibe I get around here, though, Teague, is most people are excited about rooting against the Eagles.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's the division rival, and you know they're going to be a pain in your butt for many years to come because Jalen Hurts isn't going anywhere. Saquon's got, what, 3 or 4 years left of good football, and maybe two more of really elite football. The wide receiving core, defense, scheme. They might keep, actually, Kellen Moore, too, their offensive coordinator.
Crazy.
Because it seems like he might not be that interested.
Well, there's a report 2 minutes ago from Ian Rappaport.
That is?
That basically the Saints are planning on not having Kellen Moore leave New Orleans after the Super Bowl.
Interesting.
What does that mean?
What does that mean?
They're going to meet with him after the Super Bowl.
Meet with him the day after and hope that he literally doesn't leave the
Super Bowl. Well, he has to take the job, though.
You're right.
Well, they can lock the door all they want. I mean, it doesn't mean he's going to say yes.
Right. I mean,
He may say no.
The Eagles, after if they, you know, lose the Super Bowl, might make it worth his while to stay and be the offensive coordinator.
Or he may not want to coach the Saints.
Right.
I got a text from my friend who's a diehard Saint fan like 5 days ago, and he said, hey, do you think my team will have a coach this year? And I said, yeah, I think you'll have a coach, but I think this is just obvious. Like, the longer this goes, it's clear they want Kellen Moore. It's clear. It's obvious. The question is, does Kellen Moore want them?
Mm-hmm.
And you'd feel like a real horse's patoot if you waited all this time. And then at the end of the day, when the season's finally over, Kellen's like, yeah, I'm good. Sorry about that.
Right, because their only other interview, their second interview, was Mike Kafka,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's crazy. Somebody will take the job, obviously.
Somebody will eventually take the job,
Of course. You can offer it to someone who's not even close to being proven, but is kind of on the rise. Maybe he's unprepared for it, but you give it to him anyways.
Toll-free number, 888-808-1019. Let's go to Ray in Brooklyn. What's up, Ray?
Gentlemen, good afternoon. I'm fine. Listen, Evan, I actually think it's pretty silly, and it sounds a little bit pathetic, your argument for Mahomes over Brady. And I'm going to tell you why. I think I actually had this conversation with you guys around this time last year.
Go ahead.
Tom Brady has 10 Super Bowl appearances and 7 chips, right?
Yep.
And he's his daddy. He beat him in a championship game and in the even biggest game of the year in the Super Bowl. So people say, for example, when they told my Josh Allen, oh, if you want to be the best, you got to beat the best. And if he's never beaten Mahomes, he cannot be considered the best. So I can use that same argument with
no,
you.
No. I'm glad,
so,
Ray.
Hold on.
Okay. Keep going, you Tom Brady kiss ass. Keep going.
Stop it. I'm a Giants fan. Listen. But anyway, so he would have to surpass the 10 appearances and the 7 titles to even begin the conversation because he lost twice to his dad. Now, here's the other thing I want to say, gentlemen, please. So, about the Pete Alonso situation, let me ask you guys.
Yeah.
Have you overpaid for something just for peace of mind?
Yes.
Yes, absolutely.
Right. So, Tiki, Evan, we're not billionaires. We do that all the time. I'm not rich like I told C-Mac and Keith McPherson. I'm just the mailman, and I do it all the time. So, I don't want to hear Cohen crying and talking about how exhaustive and mentally draining this is when you got all this money and you and your fans want to talk about Big Brother, you can get this, you can do that. So just overpay.
Hold on. You're mixing a lot of things together.
Yes.
I don't know where to start. Let me start with the Alonzo thing, because there actually is someone else on hold. I'm surprised you Brady kiss-asses wouldn't bring this up immediately, and you did. And that is, Brady's 2-0 against him. Debate is over. We'll address that in a little bit. Listen, yes, we overpay for things. I think the Mets have clearly overpaid for things.
Yeah, of course they have.
I think the point here with Pete is that there is no other market for him.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think Steve Cohen is saying, look, I overpay for a lot of stuff.
Right.
I have a totality in payroll that's going to approach $300 million. So you want me to do it again for somebody mm-hmm. who there's no market for.
Right.
If they were coming back to Steve and saying, hey, look, this is the Blue Jay offer. It's higher than yours. What are you going to do about it? Well, then there's a decision. But right now it feels like you're bidding against yourself.
No, nobody should do that. I think you overpay when you really want something. In this case, we're talking about players and their services because you know that somebody else is going to overpay.
Right.
But if nobody else is going to even match what you've offered, because right now it feels like there's two offers on the table. The reported, even though I don't know if that's real, Blue Jays offer and what we know is the Mets offer. And so if Pete Alonso wants to be a Met, he's going to have to make a hard decision, either wait potentially for someone else to come out of the woodworks, which is not going to happen because pitchers and catchers are 8 days away and most rosters are already kind of set, or just suck it up and take what the Mets are offering.
Right, which I think what the Mets are hoping for.
That's what the Mets are playing the game towards.
Now, let me address the last thing he said, because this is Tommy's fault. It's Tommy's fault. It's not Steve Cohen's fault. It's
what
not my fault.
What did Tommy do?
Tommy's fault. The last caller says, if you're going to be big brother, do this. First of all, there are some Met fans, Tommy one of them, I think Sal probably has done it too, we'll
yes.
throw him in there as well.
Sal has done it.
Who like to open their mouths and talk about big brother, big brother. Mm. Steve Cohen has never said the Mets are big brother. I have never said the Mets are big brother. So when we're having this discussion about Pete Alonso in contracts, bringing something up that some in our fan base, not going to call them names, they have every right to feel that way, but to cite something that some in our fan base scream out loud to piss off Yankee fans about is not a really fair thing to use against us. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I agree with
that. So it's your fault, Tommy.
I'll take the blame. But another thing he said that I thought was interesting is he's right. For Steve Cohen to say something's exhausting, dude, you're a billionaire owner. Relax, all right? Like,
I don't think he actually means it's exhausting. I think what he's saying is I'm extraordinarily annoyed with Scott Boras.
Frustrated.
Not even frustrated, just annoyed. He's annoyed him.
Well, and what do you think he's annoyed about? He's annoyed about the fact that they're trying to make the Mets bid against themselves.
Yeah.
Like, he's a billionaire, and he showed you, if I'm bidding against the Yankees and Toronto and Boston, I'll outbid everybody for Juan Soto. He did that. Great job. But this is a different situation. He's not trying to outbid five other teams. Boras is trying to get him to outbid himself. That's why he's exhausted.
Yeah.
So it makes a lot of sense. This guy wants to bring up the 0-2 thing, too. This just drives me nuts. Alex in New Canaan, you Tom Brady-ass kisser. What's on your mind?
All right. First of all, I'm a Jet fan. Okay?
What?
That's right. I'm a Jet fan.
What?
I happen to be a Michigan of Wolverine fan.
I say, okay.
Right, and I was there for all the years when he went back and forth quarter against quarter with Lloyd Carr and Drew Henson up in Michigan.
All right.
So
all right.
I always root for Michigan players.
Okay.
But I'm not a kiss ass. They're 3-3 regular season, right? Mahomes is 1-2 against the Pats with Brady mm-hmm. and 2-1 when he went to the Buccaneers. But if you want to be fair, he's 0-2 in championship games. He lost to him in the AFC Championship game,
mm-hmm.
and he lost to him in the Super Bowl.
So my question to you, that's fine. Of course, I can't dispute that. Here's my question to you.
I also have an Alonzo thing.
All right, but first, let me ask you a question. If Patrick Mahomes wins the Super Bowl this year, and he wins the Super Bowl next year, and he ends up passing Tom Brady, and he wins seven MVPs, he's a GOAT, right?
He wins it next year, GOAT.
Oh, thank you! Then what the hell does 0-2 mean? It's not the Trump card. Like, again, you guys are going to face shrapnel. I apologize. Is Eli Manning better than Tom Brady?
No. No.
Okay.
But he beat him twice.
But he beat him twice.
Well, come on. Ford doesn't jump off sides. Does Tom Brady beat him twice?
But you can do that. Look, I was going to bring that up, Sean. The reason I didn't is because you can do that about like every big moment in NFL history.
If
you do about the Giants, though.
We're candy and nuts.
Right.
We'd all be blanks and giggles.
If David Tyree doesn't somehow, you know, catch a ball on his helmet, if Eli Manning doesn't escape. No, it's not different.
We're literally talking about one player making one penalty at the most crucial part of a game. That's
but you're also talking about one player making the most improbable catch in the history of the NFL. Super Bowl.
The problem, exactly, and that's why
David Tyree was not a great wide receiver. He was a great special teams player because he made Pro Bowls multiple times, but he was only receiving because Plaxico Burress was hurt on the whole week.
See, you opened up the can I didn't want to open up because I hate this when we ever do this in sports, and it's always someone like you that does it. You say, well, he only won because of this. Mm. You don't think Bill fans are bitching about that for the last 5 days?
Of course.
So don't do it, because once you say, well, D Ford offsides, it changed everything. Yes, it did. But then you could find every other thing that happened in this Chiefs run or the Giants run or anything throughout sports history to minimize it.
Everything is littered with that. And by the way, in the end, if Josh Allen gets knocked for never winning a Super Bowl, I think I could look back at that. My point is, what I think is different about the Tyree play and everything else, multiple chains of events happen, right? Like Eli escapes, he puts the ball up. It's all an amazing part of it is luck, all right. Of that. I'm just talking about in this spot was a singular one of 53 players that
I get
had nothing
it.
To do with Mahomes that
Dude,
jumped offside.
Look, I remember seeing it. It was frustrating. And think about this if you want to take it a step further. The Kansas City Chiefs, here's how good they are. They're looking for a three-peat.
Yeah.
Think about the two times they lost in the championship game to the Cincinnati Bengals, a game we all thought they had in a bag at halftime, and then lost in overtime.
Good point.
And the D4 game. The Kansas City Chiefs are this close, I'm holding two little fingers together, from going to how many straight Super Bowls?
That would be six, seven.
Think about that. 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, yeah. 23. Seven straight Super Bowls. Now, they didn't, so you can't say it. But that's the problem with finding one play.
Yeah, but if they, I mean, you're right. One or two plays make a difference.
Seven straight.
In both of those games from being seven straight.
But you can do the same thing against them with the 13-second game, with what happened even over the weekend. So once you start opening up that can, you question everything. My only point to that last call and to anyone else who brings up 2-0 is if that really is so important to you, is the discussion already over in 2025? On Brady versus Mahomes, because Mahomes isn't going to get a chance to beat him in the playoffs. So you're telling me it's over?
No.
Debate's over.
But you brought up Eli beating Brady twice. Steph Curry's beaten LeBron. I think it's 3-2-3 in Steph's favor.
Right.
But Steph is not as good as LeBron,
right.
So no one's going to... But if LeBron played MJ in the finals, that's something you could point to. If MJ beat him twice,
but
it'd be no debate.
But this is why these conversations get exhausting, because there's so many ifs and buts.
Right.
Right.
And it just, you can't follow it. Like, I'm already lost. What are we talking about?
I'll make it simple. Do you think that Patrick Mahomes could never pass Tom Brady because he lost to him in the playoffs twice?
No.
Okay. That's it. That's the end of the discussion. That's it. So if you bring it up, you actually think it's a real thing. It's not a real thing.
Let's think about what Tom Brady did. And this is the opportunity that Pat Mahomes has. Tom Brady redefined what excellence is. Like consistency and excellence. He redefined it.
Yeah.
We had never seen it. And then there was a stretch where he didn't do anything from a championship standpoint. And then he did it again at the end of his career. Like, it was excellence and rediscovering excellence. Pat Mahomes is the model of consistent excellence. At least to start his career,
yes.
He is. He has been to seven consecutive AFC championships. We just talked about how there was a couple of plays, not his fault, that kept him from going to seven straight Super Bowls.
Right.
And so, he's redefining something. He hasn't fully baked it yet, but he's throwing in all these ingredients to make himself on par or surpassing Tom Brady.
If you break Brady's career into thirds, the first third, the second third, and the third third, we are entering the finale of the first third of Patrick Mahomes' career, assuming he can go 21 years. Mm. Over that first third, Tom Brady won three Super Bowls, missed the playoffs 1 year, lost a Super Bowl, lost in a divisional round, and lost in a championship game. Patrick Mahomes has now been to five Super Bowls. He's won three. His worst win season was losing in a championship game. He's just very far ahead of Tom Brady through the first third of their careers. And by the way, the second third of Tom Brady's career isn't even that good either. Where it gets crazy for Tom is the last third,
right.
Because that's when he went and won Super Bowls every other year.
I have one other thing to bring up, and in case you can't tell, I'm very more pro Mahomes than Brady. Tom Brady also in his playoff career, including a game heads up with Patrick Mahomes, 3-0 in overtime coin tosses before there was a rule that both teams should touch the ball, and the other quarterbacks never saw the ball, including that game versus Mahomes.
Wow, imagine, is that true?
Yes, 3-0, and all three of those years.
3-0, and he won the coin toss all three
times. And all three of those postseasons won the Super Bowl.
Just off the top of my head, the game against Mahomes in the AFC Championship game, the D4 game.
I got to look up
the Super Bowl against Atlanta.
Yep.
And what was the third?
I'll get the third. It might have been the Tuck rule game. It might have been.
Also, way back, so before.
Yes. Yeah,
that's even before the touchdown rule. Yeah. Just kick a field goal, you win.
But either way, three times he touched the ball, the other team never saw the ball because he won the flip of a coin toss. And he won three Super Bowls.
He's such a hater, but I love it.
No, but you know what? Like, a coin toss determined whether or not he had chances to win those Super Bowls.
And Bills fans cried the Chiefs didn't. Also, one more note on D4. Anybody remind me who that call went against? What team?
That went against the Chiefs.
Okay, just leaving that out there.
But they were playing the Patriots.
They were playing the then Chiefs.
Right. Let's go to Justin in Mayapac. How are you, Justin?
Hey, what's up, boys?
All's good. What's happening?
No. I was at that New England 2007 Super Bowl, and my aunt made a pillowcase, wrote on it, 18 wins and one giant loss.
Oh, it's a great one.
I'm going to tell you something. It was the greatest thing. David Tyree caught the ball on his head. I turned to my uncle. I said, "That's not a catch." He said, "I think it is." And it was.
Yeah.
They went on to beat that guy. Took care of that team like it was no tomorrow.
I will tell you this, Justin, and I am a Jet fan, and I think Tiki will tell you, sometimes I troll, but sometimes I'm fair. I was in that stadium for that game. I have never rooted for a team that's not my own as passionately as I rooted for the New York Giants that evening because I wanted that over.
Right.
I could not have the Patriots completing the perfect season, so I enjoyed that night as well. We'll get back to your calls in a second, 888-808-1019. So as we have a clock hanging behind us around Boomer Esiason's neck, tick-tock, tick-tock, that Pete Alonso is going to re-sign today. Probably not going to happen. That clock will be replaced by an L at the close of business around 5 o'clock today if Pete doesn't re-sign. Let me make this warning to the New York Mets. And I think David Stearns already knows this, I think. But let me explain this. So the San Diego Padres are listening on trade offers for Michael King and Dylan Cease. Now, I think Dylan Cease is the likeliest guy to be traded. They just agreed on a deal with Michael King to avoid arbitration. And it's a very funky deal. Funky deal in terms of he gets a signing bonus. There's a lots of realistic things he can hit to bring up his salary, like based on innings pitched. So I think the Padres are kind of playing some games with the Michael King contract. So my guess would be Michael King's not going to be traded. Dylan Cease will be traded. Dylan Cease is one of the most reliable starters in baseball. I don't have a bad word to say about him.
Yeah.
He goes out there. He makes 30-plus starts every single year.
Right.
He's the perfect arm for the New York Mets in terms of reliability. And you want to call him an ace? I don't know if he's an ace, but he's very reliable.
He doesn't need to be. He just eats up innings. That's his M.O.
And he's had some great years in his career. So I would love to add Dylan Cease. Here's the problem. The problem is Dylan Cease is 29 years old, which means next year when he's a free agent, he's going to be 30 years old.
Mm-hmm.
David Stearns has already shown us he's not giving big contracts to 30-plus-year-old starting pitchers. That's number one. Number two, we'll play a little game. Tiki doesn't know the answer, but as soon as I ask the question, he'll figure out the answer because he's really smart. Who do you think represents Dylan Cease?
Oh, I'm going to say Scotty Boris.
You are correct. So let's walk through this. If you're the Mets trading for Dylan Cease, he's a rental. He's a rental because he's going to be 30 upon free agency. He's a rental because he's represented by Scott Boris. He's a rental because David Stearns has shown us he's not really going to hand out that kind of mega contract for a 30-plus-year-old pitcher. So as long as we understand the first part, Dylan Cease is a rental, we can get to the second part, which is how much you willing to give up. Now, I may be willing to give up a lot less than Tommy and other Met fans, but hold the phone on that for a second. If you're going to trade for a rental starting pitcher, that means you're going for it, right?
You have to go for it.
Yeah. You're probably not re-signing this pitcher. In fact, it's unlikely you're re-signing this pitcher unless David Stearns been rope-a-doping us for 2 years and all of a sudden's like, hey, Dylan Cease is the 30-plus-year-old starter I want to give a 7 or 8 year deal to. If you're going for it by making an all-in-ish kind of trade for Dylan Cease, how are you not re-signing Pete Alonso? How would that make any sense whatsoever? So I'm not yelling, or like because I'm mad, because nothing's happened yet. I'm expressing a strong opinion that if you want to rent Dylan Cease, if you're going to do that, then you better re-sign Alonzo, well, because then what are we doing?
By the way, they're not mutually exclusive. You can obviously do both of them, but I think if you are going for it with Dylan Cease, then you're necessarily going for it with Pete Alonzo. And so it becomes a, all right, Pete, we got you, but this is kind of like Dylan Cease. It's a one-year opportunity for you.
Sure.
And Pete Alonzo, I'm positive, doesn't want that. I don't think he wants, as much as we've thrown it out, this pillow contract that he's likely going to get, which is an opt-out after his first year, he probably doesn't really want that.
Well, but he's going to have to take that. The one thing that's happened is it's going to be a three-year deal with opt-outs all over the place. Like, that's established. It's more about the money that he's going to get.
Yeah, but should the money care? Should he care that much about the money?
That's
because
up to him.
Because it's limited. Like, think about the spread that we're talking about here. It's limited.
I understand.
A couple million here or there on either side of the negotiation. Does that really matter?
That
can't be what's holding this up. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
$2 million. $3 million. That cannot be what's holding up the negotiations between the Mets and Pete Alonzo.
All I know is renting a starting pitcher, which is what I think, based on what I just laid out, Dylan Cease would make no sense in conjunction with not keeping Pete Alonzo.
Right.
Like, I think David Stearns is too smart to do any of that. Like, renting a starting pitcher, I'm not even telling you I'm dead set against. I understand it. Now, I may not be willing to give up, you know, Brandon Sproat and Drew Gilbert. In fact, I'll tell you right now, I'm not. But if you're going to rent a starting pitcher, because that would definitely improve the Met rotation. The Met rotation, you had Dylan Cease to go along with David Peterson and Kodai Senga and Sean Manaea, and then the questions around Frankie Montas and Clay Holmes. That's a pretty damn good six-man rotation.
Yeah.
I think we'd all agree on that. But it's contradictory in my eyes to do that and not re-sign Pete Alonzo. You got to do both. That's my warning. Got to do both. You want to trade for a rental starting pitcher? Cool. You can't do that and say, we're going to figure out Brett Beatty at first base. Because you're making a very aggressive all-in move.
Beatty's not going to play first.
Well, first base or third base. Right. Essentially replacing Pete Alonzo in the lineup. That's my warning. Because it doesn't make sense. That's all it is. It would not make sense. And I believe David Stearns does make sense. Let's get back to your calls. Let's go to Paul in Hawthorne, New Jersey. What's up, Paul?
What's going on, guys?
Yo.
I'm going to be 70 years old in March.
Happy birthday.
I've been watching football since, watching football since 1961.
Yes.
If you want to call Brady the greatest winner of his generation, that's fine. Okay? I saw them all play. I saw the end of Otto Graham. I saw John Unitas. I saw Bart Starr. I saw them all.
Mm-hmm.
Bart Starr won 5 world titles in 7 years. I don't care what kind of ball you call them. Football didn't start Super Bowl I. Football started a long time ago.
No, I know.
Okay, now, hold it. Go back now. You're the coach of the Rams, okay? And you tell Deacon Jones, during film session, Deacon Jones, number 12 is Tom Brady. He's their quarterback. But you know what? You can't touch him. You tell Dick Butkus, that's Tom Brady. He's the quarterback. You can't touch him.
But the problem with what you're saying is there's no disrespect to Bart Starr because he's one of the greats of all time, is that you're penalizing quarterbacks of this era
because
they play in a different era.
Yeah, because the rules are different and the rules protect them because they make so much money and we know the reasons why. But still, they play in this era. They can't help it.
Right. So you can't penalize them. So, and look, here's the issue, and I understand why it'd be frustrating for a guy like that who's watched.
I thought he was going somewhere different.
Where did you think he was going? Dan Marino?
No, I thought he was. I thought he was going to say Tom Brady, as he did say, is the greatest winner ever at the position, but he's not the greatest athlete, you know, ball placement guy. He's not any of that.
Right.
I mean, think about what they do so many underneath crossing routes and. Let's check it down to the running back. Let's throw it to our tight end on some of these easier throws. Nowadays, you see Pat Mahomes and even Lamar and Josh Allen making these ridiculous throws in these tight windows. Tom developed into doing that, but for a lot of his career, it wasn't that.
Right.
And so I thought that's what he was going to say.
Yeah, I thought he was going to. I think a lot of people probably think like me. Peyton Manning, I thought, was the greatest player at the position I've ever watched. Even if Brady was the greater winner to speak to that. I thought that's where he was going.
Right,
me too.
But I think when you're an older fan, what you almost have to do with guys like Bart Starr and Roger Staubach is separate them completely. Because here's what I could never do with Bart Starr, who is very underrated because of all the winning he did with the Packers. You're right about that. But when you sit there and you look at his career numbers, they're just like blah. Now, I get it. It's a different sport. I acknowledge that. But he never led the league in touchdowns. He never threw more than 16 touchdowns in a season. Now, that's not me knocking Bart Starr. That's me saying, how the hell could I ever make an argument he's the greatest of all time?
Yeah.
So you almost have to separate kind of the older quarterbacks and compare them to guys of their era. That's why I said, look, I've been watching football since 1991. That doesn't include Dan Marino in his real prime.
Right.
That doesn't include Dan Marino in a Super Bowl. But from what I watched, Mahomes is the best.
Yeah, and it's just the game is so different than it was then. We know this, and we've said this multiple times. But those quarterbacks, if you had asked them to turn into what these modern quarterbacks are, I mean, I don't know if they could have done it.
Right.
Just because it's not how they grew up. It's just like three-point shooting in basketball. If you ask someone who played in the 50s, in order to be on this NBA team, you got to be able to hit three-pointers. They'd be like, all right, well, I'm doing something else.
Right.
Because it's not something they grew up learning how to do.
No, you're right.
Nowadays, kids are shooting threes when they're 12 years old.
Amazing.
I'm telling you, but the game is just different.
Did you guys listen to me and watch the Memphis Grizzlies-Houston Rockets game?
Did not.
Did you guys listen to me and watch the Islander game last night?
Saw the result.
The New York Islanders won. They've won six in a row. They are now, actually, I lost my newspaper,
I'll save
bro.
You. They passed the Rangers by a point.
They're better than the Rangers.
Thank you. Well, I was going to ask
hold
you.
Hold on. It's a lot like Brady and Manning.
Stop. I was going to ask him because I lost the newspaper. I was going to ask, well, where are they in the standings? So they're ahead of the Rangers?
Yeah, for now.
Better than the Rangers.
Better than the Rangers, right?
Talk to me after we play the Bruins.
They got more points than the Rangers?
But still worse than the Devils.
Right. That is true.
Devils a little bit.
Devils are coming down.
Devils are on a slosh.
If you guys watched the Memphis-Houston game, I so wish this was a Nick game, just so we could talk about it for 25 minutes. The Grizzlies are down by a point after Fred VanVleet misses a three with about 18 seconds to go, and they're running a fast break. Okay? They're running a fast break. They're about to get an easy dunk. And the official misreads Taylor Jenkins, the Grizzlies coach. He was screaming, go, run, run, run. They thought he was calling a timeout.
No.
And they blew the play dead, stopped the Grizzlies' fast break. Jenkins loses his mind. Everybody's confused. Luckily, the Grizzlies ended up winning the game anyway because they made two free throws after, I forget who it was, got fouled.
Right.
So that would have been it. Yeah, Jaren Jackson. That would have been the most unbelievable way to lose a game. So if you did listen to me and say, hey, I'm going to scout Memphis-Houston, you got yourself quite an ending. It would make the NFL blush. They'd be like, what? Your calls continue at 888-808-1019. And we check the big clock that's behind us, the Boomer clock. He says Pete Alonso is signing sometime today. The clock is ticking around his neck. Will he sign? I like that. I like that little clock.
Feels like Sunday night when I hear that.
60 minutes?
Yeah. 60 minutes.
It really does. Plus, we'll find out if Shador Sanders is just telling us point blank where he's going to play football next year, because I think he did the other day. Evan and Tiki on the Fan.